John chapter 21. Trying to figure out how to take a 10-minute sermon and make it longer. Because we were supposed to preach Sunday night 10 minutes. So you may be out here in just a minute. Have a longer prayer time than we will any other day. Maybe we need more prayer. And welcome to 2018. I wrote out my time check earlier. And had to purposely think, 2018, because you just now got to where I was writing 17, and now I got to switch again. And so thank God for another year. And He didn't give us this year to waste. He gave us this year to serve Him. And I hope that that'll be your New Year's resolution. John chapter 21, I want to preach on the subject of back on track. Getting back on track. And as the years go, you know, as a year goes, it seems like toward the end of the year, we start to wane on some things. So we start to fade away from things. And by the way, isn't it amazing how the things that we fade away from are the very things that are spiritual to our life? Or diets in our life that are needful? Yeah. Somebody say amen. Yeah. I love going to the gym in the new year because it's packed out. And but toward the end of the year, I love going working out more because usually I'm the only one left. And I'm just trying to plod along, you know, and toward the end of the last couple of weeks, you know, you go in the gym and it's like, where's all the people that were here in the beginning of the year? They were coming there, they were going crazy, and, you know, you see them lose a little weight, and you're like, where'd they go? You know, not that I'm best friends with people at the gym, but I go there, just to look at the machinery, then I walk out, and I'm like, yeah, still looks good. And make my appearance kind of like people do at church, right? Amen. So I was thinking about that. I was like, you know, in reality of Christianity, how is it that when we get toward the end of year, when we always tend to start off well, but toward the end of the year, what happens? We draw away from those spiritual things that we know we should be doing. And that's why here at the church we had to have soul winning kickoffs. And that's why we had to have focuses on mission. Because if not, we forget about these things. And it's the very things that feeds the spiritual man of our life that we tend to fade away from. And so I'm here to just encourage you because I'm here to encourage myself. That I've got to get back on track. And I want to be on the right track when this year begins. But I also want to be on the right track when the year ends. And so tonight, maybe we all should just make a kind of a commitment in our hearts to the Lord to say, you know what, I'm going to get back on track and I'm going to stay on track. And by the way, aren't you glad that you serve a loving God that when you do get off track, that He forgives you and allows you to get back on track? And I don't know about you, but I derail a lot. Amen. When I first joined the fire department, we had a train track that ran behind our fire department and in our district. And I never forget that it just seemed like it happened a lot there, is that derailments happen a lot. And you learn a lot about how derailments happen. I know Brother Ratledge is the expert on that. But obviously, I do know this. I'm not that smart, but I figure this out. If the train is not on the track, it's not where it's supposed to be. Training 101. Yep. I was like, hallelujah. When they trained us to do derailments, it was like, that was it. I was like, hallelujah, first class down. Check that one off. But can I say that a Christian, when you're off the right track and on the wrong track, you're not going anywhere, spiritually speaking. And so tonight, let's look and see through Peter's life, maybe how we can get back on track. Look at verse 1, John chapter 21 and verse 1. Now, the Lord's already appeared to them. We're within the 40 days of Jesus showing Himself to the disciples during this time. He has risen. And now He's appearing unto them, kind of giving them the last commandment, kind of the kind of charge to go. And we see here that He's already appeared to them and on that Sunday morning. And remember, Thomas missed that one. He wasn't there. But Jesus came back, showed Himself to Thomas. And we see that in verse 1, it says, after these things. So after that, He had already showed Himself to them. Here we are again. He says, after these things, showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now, that's the Sea of Galilee. Now, when it says the Sea of Tiberias, it's mainly focusing on the northern part of Israel there, or the northern part of the lake there, a lot when it says that. And that would have been a good place for them to be because it was away from the Judean leaders and those who were persecuting them and those that they were hiding from at that time. And it says that on this wise showed he himself, and there together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. So we know that it was, if you look at it, there's Peter, there's Thomas, there's Nathanael, and then there's James and John, that's the sons of Zebedee, then two other disciples at this time. And so Jesus is going to say a few things to them, but some things have to transpire before he does. Verse 3 comes in now, and then their leader says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. You're going to know this story. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But we see that Peter says that, I'm going fishing. And they said, well, we're going with you. And I want us to look at some things here tonight, how Peter really got off track, but how he got back on track and how that all transpired after we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. And God, we do thank you for another year. And thank you for another chance to serve you. And God, I pray that you would train my thought tonight upon your word and upon what you'd have me to say. And God, that you'd be with my heart. And God, that you get all glory for what's said and what's done tonight. And God, I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit tonight, would help us all to get back on track. And God, to show us things in our life that we need to get rid of and things we need to put in our life. And God, may we start this year off right. And Lord, they already have. And Lord, we already have because we're here tonight. And God, I pray that you would bless our pastor tonight. God, I do pray that you lay a healing hand upon him. God, bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see that we're trying to get back on track. And so how do we do that? Well, Peter kind of shows us that he got off track a little bit. And a lot of people say, if you read the commentary on this particular verse, was it a bad thing that Peter went back fishing? Because that's what he knew. They had to make a living when they were with Jesus. It seemed like all their needs were taken care of. Now Jesus is off the scene, and Peter says, well, I'm going back to what I know to make money and to do what I need to do to take care of my needs and things like that. And then other commentators say, well, he just quit. Well, I don't necessarily think he just quit. I think he didn't know what to do, and so he went back to doing what he knew to do. And that was just to be a fisherman. By the way, have you ever thought about this? Where did he get the boat from? Because he had given up his boat back in Matthew chapter 4, maybe. It says that he forsook all and followed him. They left their boat and their nets. Maybe it was a rental. I don't know. I really don't know. You say, well, do you know? I don't know. But he found a boat. It says there was a boat. And maybe it was still his boat. Maybe he was renting it out while he was gone. I don't know. But here we see that that in verse 1, go back if you will, it says Jesus showed himself again to his disciples. And then in verse 3, we see that Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say, we also go with thee. By the way, when you get off track, you never get off track by yourself. And there again, speaking of train derailments, you ever seen a train derailment? Very, very rarely, if ever, would you ever see one car off the tracks. Because why? Because it's hooked to many others. And especially if they're going down this track right here, there's 6 billion of them hooked together. Amen. Everybody said. Amen. And they wait for me to come from Walmart. And then I hear,
go ahead, send the trains.
Amen. And my wife says, why are you going this way? I'm like, oh, forget every time. I should have went the other way. But you ever see a train derailment? What usually happens is that one gets off, and then what happens? A domino effect happens. And by the way, spiritually speaking, that's what happens in mind of your life when we get off track. We take our family, we take our kids, we take maybe those who are watching us, maybe we take our neighbors with us, but we must be careful to stay on track. And by the way, if you're not on track tonight, you can get on track tonight. And notice what Peter said. He said, I go fishing. In other words, I'm not doing necessarily what I'm supposed to be doing because God had already commanded them to go. By the way, God's commanded us to go too. God's commanded all of us to go. I want you to look at some things tonight, and I hope that these will be a help to you. I hope that they'll be a blessing to you. Now, we're going to look at this whole story. But I want us to look at mainly what happens here with Peter and what the Lord does in Peter's heart. Now remember, they're out there and they're fishing. They're doing what they're known to do. Their profession was to go fishing. And guess what happened in verse 3? It says they fished all night and what? Caught nothing. Now, I want to say that happens a lot when you get derailed. That nothing happens spiritually in your life. I want to give you some things tonight. I hope they'll be a help to you, how to get back on track. Number one, how do we get back on track? Well, number one, it's about fellowship with the Lord. You got to fellowship with the Lord. When Peter gets in the boat and he goes out, and he goes out on his own strength, he catches nothing, and then he hears a voice from the shore as the Lord hollers out in verse 5. He says, "Children, have you any meat?" In other words, "Children, do you have any fish?" And that was kind of a common saying back in those days from somebody on the shore. "Hey, did you catch anything?" That happens to us when we come pulling back up on the boat ramp. They say, "Hey, guys, did y'all catch anything?" Those words that you hate to hear when you have nothing. But those words you love to hear when you caught a bunch, you're like, "Man, I hope." And then there's usually nobody at the boat ramp that you can share the story with. But notice what happens is that they answered and said, what? "No, we've not caught anything." By the way, fellowship is not sweet when it's when you're not catching anything. People that lie and say, "Well, I just enjoy being outside." You're lying. There's nobody that enjoys getting stink. Now, if you fish like I do with stink bait, you don't want to get stink bait all over your hand, all over your boat, and go out there and catch nothing. That is not fun to me. I like catching something. And I'm the type of person, I take enough baits, I'm going to catch something. I don't care if it's a little minnow or whatever it may be. Or at least you buy something at the store and you put in your ice chest and bring it out at the end. But notice what happens here. He says, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." And they do that. But notice what happens. After that, they brought all the fish to land. And Jesus, in verse 9, notice it says, "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire coals there and fish laid thereon and bread." By the way, Jesus already had fish. He'd already had fish. He already had exactly what they needed. But I love what he says in verse 12. He says unto them, "Come and what? Dine." You know what Jesus wanted? He wanted them to come and fellowship with him. Amen. He wanted to spend time with them. And by the way, that's the word I say all the time. I was trying to think. I say something all the time. I say, "By the way." That's the word. I hate saying the same thing over. You ever have one of those words that you just use a lot, or phrases that you use a lot? Every time I say it, y'all just throw something at me. "By the way." I'm not saying that word. I'm going to write that down. Don't say "by the way" anymore. And if you ever listen to preachers long enough, you'll hear their sayings, you know, and it gets on your nerves after a while. And that gets on my nerves. Even my preaching gets on my nerves. But going back to what Jesus is wanting, he's wanting to fellowship with them, and he wants to fellowship with us. If he didn't want to fellowship with us, he would have saved us and took us straight to heaven, or saved us and just obliterated us. I don't know, but I do know that he wanted to fellowship with Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted to fellowship with David, and he wanted to fellowship with Joseph. He wanted to fellowship with Moses. He wanted to fellowship with these people, and he wants to fellowship with us. If you want to get back on track, it is about spending time with him. How do you spend time with God? Well, you spend time in prayer. You spend time reading your Bible. You spend time fellowshipping with him in church. By the way, I said it again. Amen. Hey, there you go. Yeah, throw something. Thank you. I didn't think nobody had nothing hard. Give y'all something soft to throw at. But you think about this. Fellowshipping is not what we do at church, just at church with him. Fellowshipping with him is when you're driving down the road and you're thinking about him and about his goodness. Fellowshipping with him is when you're with friends and everybody is thinking of God's goodness, and when we're on the computer and we're researching his word, we're fellowshipping with him. Or when you're looking at a book and you're reading something about the Lord, you're fellowshipping with him. When you're on your knees praying, you're fellowshipping with him. When you're giving in that offering plate, you're fellowshipping with him. I love fellowshipping with people. I love fellowship. But I love fellowshipping with him more. Matter of fact, 1 John 1, 6 and 7 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." You ever meet those people? "I just love fellowshipping with the Lord." And they ain't no more fellowshipping with the Lord than anybody. They're fellowshipping with the darkness. I meet people like that all the time. Like, if you're not reading your Bible, going to church and praising him and singing his songs, you're not fellowshipping with him. You're spending time with yourself and doing what you want to do. That's fellowship with you. Now he says this, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to fellowship with him. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to spend time with him in prayer, spend time with him in his word. And the second thing is basically going along the same thing. Not only do we need to fellowship with him, but we need to feed upon his word. Notice what he told them. He said, come and dine. Not only is that a time of fellowship, but it's a time of feeding. It's a time of eating what God has for them. They spent 3.5 years with the Lord feeding upon his word. You ever thought about that? That every word that he said that they were to digest. And by the way, some things that you eat from the word may not be for today. You ever have one of those days where you wake up and you read the Bible and boy, it's very applicable for that day. But also there's days where I read the Bible and it's not applicable for that day, but 3 weeks down the road, you're like, wow, I remember that devotion I had 3 weeks ago. Wow, the strength of the Lord through the Scripture is amazing when you need it and it applies to your life. And so feed upon His Word. Feed upon His Word. Every day you have to get up and read your Bible. You have to spend time in your Bible. I was looking at how to read your Bible in 90 days. It's going to be quite a challenge. I was looking at it the other day and I said, man, can I do it? Then you start breaking it down. You're like, well, it's not really not that hard. You know? And I was like, all right, I'm gonna hopefully give this a try. I say hopefully, just to leave a little open door there. I'm like, well, it's 90 days. Wow. But you know what? As you start reading the Word of God, and by the way, I love the Word of God. Anybody here love food? I don't eat to survive. I don't do that. I eat because I enjoy eating. If I asked you tonight, I said, hey, would y'all like to come over to our house tonight? What would you think that would include? Food, right? I mean, that's what it is. If I say, hey, after church, would y'all like to go out? You wouldn't think, okay, go outside. No, everybody, you don't have to finish that phrase in the South. You want to go out after church means we're going, usually it means we're going to the Lonesome Spur. We normally don't even have to tell you where no more. It's like, okay, we're at church, we're going to the Lonesome Spur. You know? But that's what we do. We love to eat. And by the way, my body loves to eat, but my spiritual man loves to eat also. And he needs to eat. The Holy Spirit that's in us and the Spirit that's in us needs to feast upon the Word of God. And our spirit needs it as the Holy Spirit gives us enlightenment. And as he gives, by the way, he gives us enjoyment. Not only enlightenment of his Word, but I believe the Holy Spirit gives us enjoyment of his Word. I even enjoy it whenever it's scalded me. Because I know I need it. Feed upon His Word. One of the most precious things that you can ever read is this. By the way, let me challenge you. I'm going to say it again. Good night. I preached in Blairsville, Georgia one time, revival. And it was the second night of the revival. And then I had to go eat with a guy in the church. And he had a PhD, blah, 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 blah. And so that was on Tuesday. So I preached Monday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. Tuesday morning I had lunch, Tuesday afternoon I had lunch with him. And he's a very distinguished guy. He was a superintendent of school districts for 95 years and had one of the largest collections of books. He had a 3-story house. Bottom story of the house was nothing but books. And he was very educated. And I knew that this wasn't going to go good. I even tried to play sick. And I just couldn't do it. And so as we're sitting at the table and we're eating, he took me out to eat and we're eating. He brought out a little notebook and he said, well, I just want to go over some things with you about your preaching. I don't mind people to help me, but there's certain things that just get underneath my skin. And so this guy, number one, he wasn't a preacher. And so he began to tell me of all the English damage I have done. And those there, I was like, well, I knew that. Duh. And then he said, well, I just want to let you know that you amened yourself 16 times in your preaching. Well, that got me. So that night, I was like, that old man is not going to get to me. Well, sure enough, I get up there and preach. I say, now, come on. Amen right there. And I started counting myself. By the end of that revival, those people were like, I couldn't even preach because I was so conscious of, now my English grammar, I don't care about that, but I was so conscious of that amen. I was amening myself because I'd be like, you know, hallelujah, don't you love the Lord? Amen. And I'd amen myself a lot. And the guy said, well, sir, you know, you don't amen yourself when you're, and blah, 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 you know. And of course, he was a deacon there, so I was trying to be kind because I knew who signed the checks. But even like now, I'm trying to say, okay, don't say, by the way. It'll end up messing. Anyway, we'll get out of here in a minute. Feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Love the Word of God. I was fixing to say this, but the other day I'd got up out of my bed. And I usually open my phone to my Bible on my phone before I get out of the bed. And I usually just read just a couple verses. And then also, too, I have an app on there that has a devotional on it. So I have like three of those that's on my phone. I usually pick one and read a different one every day. And so I did that. And you know what? It's amazing how that changes your day. Yeah. But you know what? There's some days I go on my phone and it says, it gives you suggestions of what you should do right now. Get on Facebook. Look at YouTube. Fox News, whatever it may be. And then I was thinking, how many mornings do I get up and I read Fox News before I read God's Word? How many times I look at Facebook before I look at God's Word? How many times that I get up and I don't look at anything and I just go with my day and I'm thinking, why is my day going so bad today? Because I didn't feed the Spirit. We want to get back on track. We've got to read the Word of God. Let me give you the last one. I believe this is the most important one. We see it here in the Word of God also. Number three, we've got to follow the Lord. The Lord came to Peter and he said, in verse 15, he said, so as when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou more than these? And what were these? We don't really know. Was it the fishes that were there? Was it the disciples? Was it what? We don't know what it was, but he's saying, do you love me more than this? You ever want to get back on track? Ask yourself that every morning. Lord, do I love you more than whatever's in front of you? You got to love him more than your job. You got to love him more than your husband. You got to love him more than your wife, your kids, your hobbies, your phone, whatever else is in there. And he goes down, he says, feed my lamb. He says, feed my sheep. He says, feed my sheep again. And I want you to notice what he says in verse, skip on down to verse 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, what? Follow me. And again, he says it in verse 22. He says, follow me. Jesus told Peter this whenever he called him in Matthew chapter 4. He said, as he was, I'll read this to you, Matthew 4, 18, 20. He says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting their nets in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets and what? Followed him. How can you mess up your life if you're following Jesus Christ? It's impossible. It's impossible to derail or to get off track if you're following the Lord. The times that Michael Wiggins has messed up, the times that Michael Wiggins has derailed, is the times when I was not following the Lord. And not at this time, they had the Holy Spirit. Because in chapter 20, he gave them the Holy Spirit. They had an inside source that was directing them. They had what the Lord had taught them. We definitely have no excuse because we have the completed Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And if we don't follow the Lord, and Jesus wants us to follow Him, He wants us to stay in His, as we sung tonight, stay in His footsteps, following the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever He may go. And sometimes He may not go through over the mountain. Sometimes He goes through the valley. You ever wonder sometimes where the Lord is in your life? Job felt that way. David felt that way. But He is there, and He'll never lead you to the wrong place. He'll never lead you to the wrong door, and He'll never lead you astray. Spurgeon said that following the Lord was his delight. all the days of his life. If you need somebody to follow, don't follow me. Follow the Lord. You follow him, he'll lead you the right direction. He'll lead you to the right place. You got to get back on track. How do you do that? Well, you got to fellowship with him. You got to feed upon his word. And number three, you got to follow him. The last thing that Peter ever heard from the Lord was, follow me. Follow me. You ever thought about this statement? Peter, follow me. Jesus is fixing to be gone. How am I going to follow you, Lord? You're not here no more. Well, he's not here today. How are we following? We follow him by the Holy Spirit, and we follow him by his word. Wherever he leads, what? I'll follow. How about you tonight? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're having time of invitation. Father, we love you. We thank you. God, tonight, thank you for loving us so much that you would allow us to follow you. And God, that you would lead the way. And Lord, also thank you that when we fall and we stumble, God, that you pick us up and you clean us up and you put us right back on track. Now, Father, I know that as the year goes on, Lord, we begin to fade, we begin to swerve, and we begin to get off track. But God, as we face this night, first service of 2018, may we, through your Spirit, may we, through your help and your strength and your power and your grace, may we start off right. And God, may we finish right. Help us to stay on track, Lord. We need a time of fellowship with you, feeding on your word and following you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.